The last time that we had shared, we were discussing the question of kinyanim. How does a Jew acquire something? How does a non-Jew acquire something? Are the kinyanim the same or different? And we're talking about specifically the issue of metalvelin, movable objects. And the question is really boils down to a machlokas, Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, which I think is the last thing that we did, is whether or not Dvar Torah Ma'os Konos or Mashicha Kona. Everybody agrees, Lamasa, the way the Mishnah describes, that if I have something that qualifies as currency and you have an object and I want to acquire it, everybody agrees, Lamasa, that the only way the kinyan is final is when I do some type of possession of the object. The Mashicha is the term the Gemara uses. It, depending on the object, it could be Hagbah, it could be I have to lift it up. If it's a small object, you know, I can't be Kona this by dragging it. If it's like a big cow, it's kind of not only impossible to lift the cow up, it's kind of hard to drag it also. Instead, you do mesira. You're the owner, you hand me over the reins, the bridle, whatever it is that I gently lead the cow with. So the question is, that's clearly the din halacha l'maisa. But what is the din toraisa? In other words, mid toraisa, if I give you the cash, is really mine, and the rabbanon canceled that kinyan? Or, no, do we say that midaraisa is the same as the din d'rabbanan, the mishicha is kona, and if I pay cash for an object, by din Torah, I am allowed to back out of the transaction. From the perspective, I should emphasize, not from a moral, ethical perspective, but from a legal perspective. In other words, going back to my basic example I cite frequently, if I promise to give you $100, you can't take me in a quarter of it. There's nothing you can do to make me give that money. I'm not, from a choshen mishpat perspective, I'm not obligated to give you that money because there's no kinyan, there's no consideration, and therefore I'm just not obligated to do so. From a moral perspective, if I promise you something, unless something, you know, didn't happen, so there's a principle of she'iris yisrael yasu avla, that a real ben Torah gives one your word, and you keep your word, that's all. So we're talking about only from a legalistic perspective here. Is it enforceable in a court? Is such a kinyan binding? So that was the machlokas Reish Lakish Rabbi Yochanan, and Rabbi Yochanan says that Dvar Torah Ma'os are konos, they really are, and Reish Lakish says no, that Dvar Torah Mashicha is kona. Now again, in most cases, it doesn't really matter because I give you the cash, and then I take the object, and I take it home with me, so both end up happening. But the question would be, what happens if I've given you the cash, but you didn't deliver the object yet? That's the situation of concern. Okay, so now I want to turn our attention to the Gemara and Bechoros as a prelude to jumping back into our Gemara. Because what's kind of our Gemara, really, for the next daf, is going to be dealing with the question of whether Mashicha is Kona by a Goy. And the reason why it's important in our Sugya is a very, very simple one. If I am transferring wine, Jewish wine, which is kosher, to a Goy, the crucial element, or the crucial concern, is that the goy has to be kona the wine before he touches the wine. Because if he touches the wine before he's kona the wine, what it really means is if he turns the yayin into yayin nesech before the purchase is complete, so then it becomes yayin nesech shel Yisrael. It's still the Jew's wine. And now I'm selling Yayin Nesach to a Goy, and that is prohibited. I'm getting Hanar from Yayin Nesach. The Goy doesn't necessarily, if Mashicha were Kona, and the Goy made a Mashicha before he touched the wine, it doesn't matter whether he paid me money for the wine before he touched it, because as long as he was Kona the wine when it was Yayin Kosher, at that point he owes me money. In general, assuming that Mashicha is Kona, when I make a Mashicha on your object, when I lift the object up, pull the object, at that point the payment that I owe you is essentially like a loan. It's not literally a loan. It's not literally a loan because if it's the Shemitah year passes, it doesn't dissolve that. In order for the Shemitah year to dissolve it, you have to convert that kind of a debt into a formal loan. It's called Zakvan Alav B'milveh. You turn it, it literally means you straighten it up into a milveh, you convert it into a straight-out loan. But as there are lots of situations where I owe you money, but it's not considered a hava. If I do work, if you work for me, and I haven't paid you your wages. Right now, that's not a hava, but I owe you money. It's a different kind of debt. It's one that's not subject to dissolution by the Shemitah year. So that would be the same thing here. So the key is establishing a debt, even if the goy hasn't paid you the money, establishing a chov for the goy to pay you before the yayin turns into the yayin nesach. Once he's kona the yayin, before it turns to yayin nesach, now it's yayin nesach, b'shushush l'goy, that's not my problem. I know when I sell wine to a guy, I know what's going to happen to the wine, that's pretty obvious. That's not my problem. But the key point in our sugya, and what we read in the Mishnah, it's worth reread the Mishnah very briefly. On the second Mishnah, Daf Ayin Aleph Amar Aleph, Hamocher Yeno Laove Kochavim, I selling my wine to a guy, Posak Ad Shelo Madad Damav Mutarim, Madad Ad Shelo Posak Damav Asurim. So madad here means to measure out the wine. It means to pour the wine, the simple reading is, into the kli, the non-Jew's kli. Posak means to set a price for the wine. And the assumption here is that if we haven't set a price for the wine, then there's no final kinyan. In other words, if I come into the store and there's no, it doesn't say wine is, you know, $5 a bottle or $5 per liter, but rather I say, oh, I'm interested in some wine, so how much would you want? I would want, 2 liters worth. He pouring 2 liters, and then I ask for the price. He says, oh, it's $150 a liter. And I thought, are you crazy? I'm not buying this wine. So if there's no psikas donim, if there's no setting of a price, either because the price is known or because we agree to a price, there's no smichas das for a kinyan, there's no consent for a kinyan, and it's all provisional. So you can pour the wine into my kalim, and then you tell me it's $150 a liter, it's like, okay, no thank you, never mind, I'm not interested. And you take the wine back. So the Mishnah says that apparently what is required is that you have to do, if you do psika, if there's a set price, so now there's an agreement of the minds, then if you madad, if you measure out the wine to the guy, then it's not a problem. So it's in this context that the Gemara is going to talk about what does the Mishnah indicate about whether Mishicha is Kona or not. So let's turn to the sheet now. The Mishnah in Bechoros, the third source. And I've done my best in the Gemara to kind of abridge the discussion because it gets a little bit, it can get a little bit bogged down. So I kind of tried to digest it. If anybody, well, I'd say Daf Yomi, it's already a while ago, but not, I think when I was last here, it was much closer to the Daf Yomi. I think we were still in Bechoros 3 weeks ago. Okay. So the Mishnah says the following: Halokeach uber paraso shel oved kochavim, v'hamocher lo afal pisha in a rashai. The Mishnah is going to describe a number of transactions where a Jew and a guy have some type of a partnership, or there's, I would say the following, there's some type of ownership on the part of the guy in an animal, either in the mother animal or in the fetus, in the ubar. And the issue here is kedushas bechor. Right? The Torah says, we just read it yesterday, we have three kinds of bechorah in the Torah. We have Bechor Adam. We have... Are you a Bechor, Ilan? No, Bechor. Okay. So anybody here who had a Pidyon HaBen? Pidyon HaBens are pretty rare. Okay. So Ronan, you had a Pidyon HaBen. Pidyon HaBens are amazing.
My son and my grandson.
Okay. So that is a rarity. But you didn't have?
No,
your brother's older?
My brother's older.
Okay.
I've
You're a Cohen. Okay. So you're the beneficiary. One of the few benefits a Kohen gets Mizmanas, and only if he's really taking the money.
That option wasn't offered to me.
Hey, you're allowed to demand, go find another Kohen. All right. So the first one is a Bechor Adam. Okay, so that's Chamisha Shkalim. It's a mitzvah to do pidyon, that's all. There's no. I know that in the ceremonies you had opportunity to keep many children, but it's not really true. Mm-hmm. When you say if I were running a pidyon ben, I would cross the line out. My boy's tvei. It's not true. You don't have a choice. The coin takes the child or the five slant. It's just an obligation of giving five slants to the coin of pidyon ben. The child belongs to the parents. All right. So that's one type. Number two is a b'chor behemah tamea. That is a peter chamor only, a donkey. And there's an obligation to be poda the animal with a seh, or that's the preferred option. You redeem it with a seh. They may be able to do with a whole bunch of other things also. And you give the seh to the kohen, and you keep the chamor, which is a good deal for you because the chamor is probably much more valuable than the seh. If you refuse to do that, then there's a mitzvah of arifa with the egla. You're supposed to break the arifa of the chamor, the peter chamor. You're supposed to break the donkey's the back of its head. You're supposed to kill it that way, and it's aser b'hano. Right, the animal, the corpse is aser b'hano. And the third kind, which is the one that creates the most kinds of potential problems, is even bisman hazeh, is b'chor behema tahora. If you have a shor, a kesef, or an ace, a cow, goat, or cow, sheep, or goat, that has a firstborn male offspring, that animal has kedushas bechora, and that animal has to be brought as a karban. And if you have that animal and you shecht it today outside of the Beis HaMikdash, if you shecht it in the Beis HaMikdash, you'll start World War III. If you shecht it outside the Beis HaMikdash, you're chayiv karis, because it's called shkutei chutz. It's shechting an animal that's kachim, assuming it has no mum, outside. Now, what you would do with today with a bechor behema tahora, well, today what you do is you avoid having a bechor behema tahora, as I explained in a second. But what you want, but if you had a bechor behema tahora by accident, it happened, what you would want to do was to wait till it got a mum, and then, assuming that you had someone with sufficient expertise, I don't know what we do bisman hazeh. It's one of the three smichas. There are three smichas that Reb Chiya asked Rebbe to give Rav. He gave him two, but he wouldn't give him the third. Yore yore, yadin yadin, but yatir bechoros al yatir. It was a kavod reserved to the Beis Hanasi to be matir bechoros. That even if a kohen, even if the animal literally was missing a leg, a front leg, which is a mum galah, you have to bring it to the mumcha to say, yeah, you can shecht it. This is called the mum. Now the animal is shechted outside. You're not allowed, even when the animal is a mum, you can't work with it, you can't shear it, you can only shecht it and eat the meat. If it dies without a proper shechita, you got to bury it, it's asur b'hana. So b'chor behema tahora is a mess to deal with. So how do we get around the bizman hazeh? So the truth is, not so many Jews, you know, own animals, own cows and goats and sheep, but maybe in Eretz Yisrael, and maybe, you know, you have some farms and chutzlarts. So the way you get around this is by having a partnership with a non-Jew. If the non-Jew owns part of the donkey or part of the ubar, and it'd be a question of maybe which part does he have to own, then the animal is exempt. It doesn't get kedushas bechor. Now, ordinarily, that would be a terrible thing. The Gemara speaks in Bechoros about a particular Amora who did this, but he was punished for it or something like that, even though he gave the stuff to the Kohen. As he wasn't trying to cheat the Kohen of the Bechor, he just didn't want to have Kedusha. But Bisman Hazeh, when literally it's just it's an accident waiting to happen, someone's going to shecht it by accident. So today, we permit L'chatchila involving a Goy in partnership with a chamor, but that wasn't the case with a behema tahora. That wasn't the case in the time of the Mishnah, maybe lechatchila, but that was what they do, and it's what they did in the medieval period. And our Tosvos, this discussion is part of a way exploring this issue, is that for Tosvos it was a live issue. We're going to talk about how does a goy make a kinyan. So we mentioned last time we had Shira, Rabbi Lukstein was here, what does the rabbi do to sell chametz to a goy? So that's one situation that it comes up for us, because that's where we do. We engage in a commercial transaction with a non-Jew as a harama, as a way of getting around the halachic problem. That's the one that we do bisman hazeh. And these are the Balei Tosfos. They didn't sell their chametz to a goy, but they did sell their animals to a goy to avoid the problem b'chora. And so Tosfos here is going to talk about what kind of a kinyan would be required to make sure that the goy is kone, part of the animal, so that it doesn't get kedushas b'chora, so you don't have a mess on your hands.
What percentage would you need to sell?
So there are two deos here. One dea that Tosa cites is that any part of the animal, I think that's nitar b'shchita, if I think that's the criteria, any part of the animal, knows you can't sell the horn, let's say, the part that's not edible, so that shchita's not a matir, but you have to sell a part of the animal. He does talk about it explicitly. What does he say? So here he quotes today. I think that's what I quoted. I think is the explanation of one sheet that says afilu osno, even its ear. I assume I may have forgotten already. I did daf yom, but you can see how much I remember. I assume it's something that's nitar b'shchita. It still has the status of basar, but the animal doesn't depend upon its ear to live. The other sheet is that you have to sell the guy something that renders the animal a trefa, and it's something that if the animal were missing, it would no longer be roi to be eaten. The shchita wouldn't work on it.
It's not
percentage. It's not a percentage. It's more analogous. The Daf Yomi now is doing arachin. So arachin is when you accept upon yourself to give somebody's erech to Hekdesh, and the Torah in Parshas Bechukosai gives you amounts. It doesn't matter how important, how smart, how strong that person is. It's a fix based upon sex and based upon age. And the Torah gives you the categories. So, but what happens if you say, erech, yadi alai, I want to give the erech of my yad. So the Mishnah says I don't give anything because your yad doesn't have erech. But if I say erech libi alai, my heart, since it's an aver shanashama tliyabo, without a heart you can't live, you have to give erech kulo, you give the full erech. So this is not exactly the same thing, but it doesn't have to be something the animal will drop dead with, but it has to be something that would render the animal at least terminally ill, would render it a treifa. So those are the two deres, and Tosfos recommends being machmir.
Yes, question, why in a chamor of all the non-kosher animals, why the chamor is a need a reef or a pigeon?
There's a medrash about that. I think that the chamorim helped carry the Jews' stuff out of Egypt or something like that. There are probably multiple medrashim. If you ask me the pshat, I suspect that in terms of domesticated animals that people would have typically had in their possession at the time of Matan Torah was probably the chamor. I mean, what other animals? I don't think they, camels were domesticated, but they were not, at the time of Matan Torah, it was only really the elite, the wealthy that owned them. It wasn't until the beginning of the second millennium that they became much more common. They existed, and even in the time of the Avos, this is one contentious point about certain people who are trying to disprove the traditional account of the Torah of claiming anachronisms about camels, but it's not true. Camels were already domesticated early second millennium BCE, but probably very few people had them, probably was the wealthy. And I don't know, I'm not sure that enough horses were... what does Yaakov send to Esav as a gift? Right? I think the only non-kosher animals are the chamorim. So I suspect, if you're asking me pshat, I'm guessing it's because those were the animals that were domesticated and not kosher, typically. Okay. So that's why this issue is so important. In most of our lives and most of our commercial transactions with Jews and non-Jews, it really doesn't matter so much. In a certain sense, agreement of all the parties makes things work. But if you're worried about a formal transfer of an object, because not of mamonos, but because of Iser v'heter, whether it's the modern concern of mechiras chametz to goy or mechiras b'chor in the medieval period, and it could be true today as well, so now the stakes of what kinyan really works for goy midaraisa actually, becomes really relevant. And I think it's worth adding here, and I think maybe Rabbi Lookstein made reference to this in the last time we had shir. There is a notion that called situmta, referred to later as minhag ha-sochrim. If merchants, and it doesn't have to be merchants, have a practice, let's say it's understood in certain places in this country that when you give a handshake, you give kias kaf, that the transaction is final, so that can be binding halachically. In other words, the Mishnah provides us with default kinyanim, but minhag ha-sochrim can work as a binding kinyan as well. I don't think that we're comfortable relying upon that in the realm of Iser v'heter, but it's not entirely clear to me whether that really should be so. And maybe if it works to be recognized by a Beis Din for issues of Dinei Mamonos, for regular civil transactions, why that Meikar Hadin, that shouldn't work even l'gabe Iser v'heter, I'm not sure. Okay, but anyway, we are machim by mechiras chametz. We do like six different kinyanim, and the Balei HaTosfos didn't go so crazy about mechiras b'chor, even though the stakes are probably higher, in some ways are higher. By chametz, the worst you're going to violate is bayira bayimatze, which is only a lav shein b'maisa. By b'chor, you could wind up violating shchut echutz, which is an iser kares. So, I know you could eat the chametz, but that mechiras chametz doesn't in reality prevent us from eating it one way or the other. Okay, so the Mishnah now says the following again. Halokeach ubar parasa shel akum. If I buy, the cow is owned by the non-Jew, and I buy the fetus. Or, the hamocher lo. If a Jew sells the guy the fetus, the Jew owns the cow, and he sells the fetus to the non-Jew. Aval pishen rashai. Now this is a sidebar. We learned about this several years ago, in Maseches Avodah Zarah, the prohibition of selling behema gasa. And maybe even a behemah daka, where that was the minhag, to a non-Jew. You're not allowed to sell a behemah agasa to a non-Jew because we're afraid that either you might come to rent it to him, you might come to lend it to him, you might let him try it out, to test it out, before the sale is final, and he may end up doing that on Shabbos, and that is a violation of Shri Sas Behemta. So the Gemara Mishnah says, you're not allowed to sell a behemah gasa to a non-Jew, and a behemah daka was a machlokas and minhag, different places. Some places did, some places didn't. So that Mishnah is actually found in the fourth parak of Pesachim, and it's found, I think, in the first parak of our Masechta, from a number of years ago. So the Mishnah here just says, if you sell an ubar to a guy, you're not allowed to, because you're selling behemah gasa, maybe even behemah daka, you're not allowed to, but the sale still works, and it works to dissolve the kedusha. Hamishtatei flow, if you enter a partnership with a guy, v'amakabo mimenu, if you accept from a guy to raise the vlados, This is probably a reference to Tzon Barisel. The guy gives me his animals, and my job is to help breed them, and then we split the vlados. We have some kind of a profit-sharing arrangement, and Vanosein Lo B'Kabbalah, the same thing, Potter Men HaBechorah. In all these cases, the animal, the fetus that's born, even if it's a firstborn male, it's Potter from the Bechorah, it has no Kedushas Bechorah, Shenemar B'Yisrael, Avalo B'Acherim. The Torah says that when it describes Bechorah in one of the Pesukim, it has to be B'Yisrael, and since it's owned by a non-Jew, partially at least, it's not considered B'Yisrael. Okay. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Nachmani, Amar Reish Lakish Mishum Rabbi Oshaya. Yisrael shenasan ma'os la'oved kochavim bivehemto bedinehem afo pishel amashach kona v'chayeves bebchora. If a Jew gives money to a non-Jew to buy the non-Jew's behema, there's no fetus right now, he's just buying the behema outright, the mother behema, bedinehem, this is an odd expression, the Gemara is going to explore what does this mean, but I'll spill the beans now. Bedinehem means following the laws that the Torah set down for commerce between Jews and non-Jews and non-Jews and non-Jews. So if you give money to the guy to buy the behema, even though you didn't do a meshicha, kona v'chayeves bebechora, the Jew acquires the animal, and now if it then has subsequently a firstborn, the animal is treated as a bechor. The oved kolchavim shenasan ma'os liYisrael bevehemto bedinehem, and if a guy gave money to a Jew for the Jew's behema, bedinehem, again following Torah law as governs non-Jews, ava pishalom mashach kona, even though the guy didn't make a meshicha, he's kona the animal upater min habechorah. Now the animal, the mother animal, is owned by a non-Jew. Therefore, the vlad is also not Jewish. Now it doesn't require bechorah. So now the Gemara explores. This is Amar Mar Yisrael shenasan ma'os la'akum bedinehem. This is the first half. Afo pishalom mashach kona v'chayeves bebechorah. So the Gemara says, "My bedinehem." What does that mean? So inema, and it goes through another possibility. Ela amar baya bedinehem shepasak paskolahem Torah. The Torah dictated how a non-Jew is kona, based upon the fact that the Torah tells us how a Jew is kona, which is shenemar o kono miyad amisecha. When a Jew buys from another Jew, it has to be miyad amisecha. It has to be b'mishicha, and miyad amisecha the b'mishicha ha miyad oved kochavim bekesef. In other words, o kano miyara misecha, you acquire something from his hand. That means a Jew is kona b'meshicha, hagba, mesira. Mea misecha is b'meshicha, but by a guy, it's b'kesef. So therefore, the Torah says that when a Jew acquires something from a non-Jew, the form of kinyan is kesef. Okay. So then the Gemara says, ve'ema obaha obaha. Maybe when a Jew acquires something from another Jew, you have to do Meshicha. But maybe by a guy, me'amisecha it's Meshicha, but maybe by a guy, it could even be Kesef. It doesn't have to be Dafka Kesef. Maybe or Kesef or Meshicha works by a guy. Only by another Jew is Meshicha required. So the Gemara says no. Dumya da'amisecha. Now, it has to be, if we're making a miut, if the Torah says, O kano, miyad amisecha, and now we want to make an inference, an exclusion, that miyad amisecha is b'mishicha, but miyad hagoy, it's not. So presumably, there has to be an equivalence between amisecha and a goy. Namely, the Gemara says, I just have to find my place, one second. Dumya da amisecha. Ma amisecha bechada, af oed kochavim na'ami bechada. No, just like when a Jew buys from a Jew, there's only one form of kinyan. So when a Jew buys from a guy, there's also only one form of kinyan. And it's not the same one, because ba amisecha, me amisecha, and not from a guy. So that means that whatever the kinyan for a guy, a Jew with a Jew is, the kinyan for the guy is going to be the opposite one. So if a Jew is kona min ha'Torah b'meshicha, then a guy is kona b'kesef, and it could be vice versa, as we'll see, according to a different opinion. Omar Mar, now the Gemara says, Ove kochavim shenasan maos li Yisrael b'vehemto b'dinam. If a guy is buying from a Jew and he gives cash, even though afal pi shelo mashach, he didn't take the animal, kana upata men habechorah. So my bidinam, the Gemara goes through the same shak levataria. I imagine the conversation didn't happen twice. I imagine the editors of the sugya just duplicated it. It's interesting, by the way, I'm not going to discuss this, but the sugya that we're going to do here, even Rashi is already sensitive to the fact that we have materials being taken from other sugyos and being stitched in by the editors in the sugya. A number of Rishonim point that on different pieces that we will, you might or might not notice as we pass through it. So anyway, so the sugi repeats, Al Amar Bay Bidinam Shapaskalam Torah, Vachisim Kirum Imkar La Misecha, La Misecha Mashicha, Haval Obe Kochav and Bekesef, and Ve'ema Obaha Obaha, maybe a goy, when he buys something a Jew could buy, or from a non-Jew, could go either way, Dumya Da Misecha, Ma Misecha Ba'achas, Af Obe Kochav Nami Ba'achas. Okay. So that, so the Gemara now has presented Reish Lakish's opinion that by a goy, Kesef is Kona, and it would, and not Mashicha. To a Jew from a Jew, the kinyan is b'meshicha and not b'kesef. Now the Gemara says, Amrei, Ula Amemar, we're about to see Amemar, that's our Gemara in Avodah Zarah. Ula Amemar, the Amar Meshicha b'ovei kochavim kona. So Amemar, who says that Meshicha is kona by a guy, Hanicha isavar la krabi ochanan, the Amar dvor Torah ma'os konos, Meshicha lo, ahani la mise. So, if he holds like Rabbi Yochanan, whose position was not presented right here, but we explored it the last year, which is Rabbi Yochanan says, no, Minat Torah, the real kinyan from Jew to Jew, is through Kesef. So if that's the case, so if Amemar, who says that a guy is kona by Meshicha, what must he hold? So the Gemara says, if he holds like Rabbi Yochanan, it makes sense, to Amar Dvar Torah, Ma'os Konos, Meshicha Lo, then Ahani La'amisecha, the purpose La'amisecha is to teach us, La'amisecha Bekesef, and Lo'ovei Kochavim Meshicha. In other words, there's a debate between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish as to what the kinyan of the Torah is for a Jew to a Jew, for a Jew from a Jew. But there's no reason to assume Reish Lakish or Rabbi Yochanan should disagree that whatever a Jew's kinyan is, the guy is the opposite based upon La'amisecha. So if a Maimar holds that Mashicha is kona by a guy, presumably he holds that Ma'os are konos by a Jew like Rabbi Yochanan. Ela Isavar Kareish Lakish, but if a Maimar holds like Reish Lakish that Dvar Torah by a Jew, the Amar Mashicha Miforeshes Minat Torah, the Mashicha is explicit in the Torah, Miyad, then La'amisecha b'Mashicha, Ula Oved Kochavim b'Mashicha? What are you going to do with that? Yeah. How's that going to be? The me or the guy should have to be the opposite. So the Gemara says, Amri La'amisecha atamachzir ona'a v'atamachzir ona'a l'kinani. This is a censor's term, it means a guy. In other words, the obligation of returning ona'a, if you cheated someone in business, cheating means You gave them what you promised to deliver them in the right amount, but you overcharged them, and they didn't know that they were being overcharged. By ona'a, the din is that if you cheat them, it's a mishnayis in the fourth parak in Bamitziah. If you cheat them less than a sixth, we assume mechila. Transaction's done, nothing happens. More than a sixth is bitul hamekach. The sale is invalid. It's like a mekach taus. It's like I didn't deliver what I promised to deliver. If it's exactly a sixth, which might actually be a range, I don't want to explain that now, then we say that the mekach is kayim, that either party can insist that the transaction stand, but you have to give back that which you cheated the person. So here, there is a drasha, La'amisecha atamach zironav, i'atamach zironav l'knani, l'goy. It sounds as if, what this drasha sounds like, not that it's mutter to cheat the guy, but it means, let's say you did, are you obligated to return the difference? So the answer is no. So that is what a Amemar could do with the pasuk. So the Gemara says, but we know that ona doesn't apply by a guy from a different pasuk. L'goy me'al tonu ishes achiv nafka. Achiv v'lo nachri. So the Gemara says, no, chad b'knani v'chad b'hektesh. One pasuk will be with respect to a goy, that there's no din of ona, and one is true with respect to hektesh. And by the way, this is not a small thing when you say there's no prohibition of ona by hektesh, because in Eretz Yisrael they cheat hektesh all the time. How do they cheat hektesh? Well, today, if you grow produce in Eretz Yisrael, and maybe if you grow grapes in Chutz Laretz, in the fourth year, you have to separate revai. And all those fruits are like nice or sheni. They're supposed to be taken to Yerushalayim and eaten there. And in Eretz Yisrael, not only do you have revai for all fruit trees, but also every year, except for Shemitah year, you have to separate maiser sheni from your produce. And maiser sheni has to be taken to Yerushalayim and eaten there. Not every year. The first, second, fourth, and fifth years of the Shemitah cycle have to be taken to Yerushalayim and eaten there. So what do they do? Well, normally, what did people do with Maser Sheni? It was too much to take to Yerushalayim, so the Torah says, you can be podan kesef. V'tzarta kesef biyadcha. So what we do is that we take our thousands, hundreds of thousands of dollars of Maser Sheni, And we rely upon this principle, otherwise said that hekdesh shava mana, shechilalo al shava pruta. If I have hekdesh, that's worth a fortune. I have the Hope Diamond here, and I take out a dollar from my pocket, let's say a silver dollar, make sure it's real kesef, and I'm poda, the Hope Diamond, in exchange for the silver, for the silver dollar, the kedusha transfers from the Hope Diamond to the silver dollar, and even though hekdesh would normally not let me do this, said there's no kedusha to the Hope Diamond anymore, and if someone uses it, they don't violate me'ilah. Now, the Gizbarim would probably never let me do that, the treasurers, but nonetheless, the transfer of Kedusha works. Hekdesh Shavamana Shechila Shavapruta is Mechula. So, we rely upon that principle, even by Maaser Sheni, that Bisman Hazeh, since there's no loss to Hekdesh, and there's no loss to Maaser Sheni, because you can't eat in Yerushalayim anymore, there are no chomos, whatever reasons, if you take the Maaser Sheni to Yerushalayim, we're also Tame, we can't eat it, so it's all going to go to waste anyway, so what we do is, we take a Pruta, and we're Podeh, tons and tons and tons of Maaser Sheni, or Vai, on the one Pruta, to transfer the Kedusha, so we can eat the fruit and make use of it, and the Pruta, you can't use. Right, the pruta you can't use. At some point, maybe you take the pruta of the Yam HaMelach. Question is, well, you can take multiple prutos and redeem those on another pruta and so on to keep it going. But the bottom line is, we rely upon the fact that there's no ona'a for hekdesh. This is how we actually use it. So the Gemara says...
But that's halachically valid.
Yes.
Okay, you mentioned it's part of an ona'a, but it's...
Ordinarily, we wouldn't allow you to cheat hekdesh, because normally we go the other way. We make people always give the little extra to hekdesh. But bisman hazeh... there is no hekdesh. It has kedusha, but it's useless. There's no beis hamikdash. There's no. You can't do anything with shalayim.
There's no choice.
And it's a takala waiting to happen. Otherwise, or it's huge baal tashas. I'm gonna destroy all the fruit. So that's what the Gemara says. It goes on a little further, but the bottom line the Gemara leaves us with is that it's possible that a Meibar who holds Meshichas Kona by a guy might hold the same thing by a Jew. But clearly, there's a machlokas Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan. Whether or not the Var Torah Ma'osar Konos by a Jew or Mashiach is Kona. And it would appear from the Gemara that the position by a Goy should be the exact opposite. That if Ma'osar Konos Menat Torah by a Jew, then Mashiach is Kona by a Goy Menat Torah. If Mashiach is Kona by a Jew Menat Torah, then by a Goy it's Ma'os that are Konos. Right. So that sets the table now for dealing with our Sugya. Okay. So the Gemara here on Daf Ayin Amud Aleph on the Mishnah comments. Amar Ameimar. Meshicha be'oved kochavim kona. By a non-Jew, with a non-Jew, with a Jew, Meshicha is in fact kona. Teda. No. Meaning, and you want to know how this is, now we know this. Dahani parsoi mishadri pardashni lahadadi v'lo hadri b'hu. The Persians send, the way Rashi explains in the first interpretation, send gifts to one another, and even though the other person, they're not really gifts, they send merchandise, and even though the other side hasn't paid, even though they haven't paid, they never chozer b'hem. They never chozer b'hem, they never back out. Which shows you that they regard the kinyan of Meshicha as being binding. Right. Otherwise, presumably they would take the advantage, sometimes, they're not always going to, sometimes they would back out. Rashi says, gives two interpretations here. The first one, he says, pardashne, which is a doron. Which is a gift. Now that should not have money, expected money in exchange. I'll explain to you why this is important in a second. V'lo hadri b'hu, ha-sholchen, alma b'meshicha k'ninhu. In other words, if you send a gift and the person makes meshicha, they never back out. So you see that meshicha's kona. That's the first interpretation Rashi offers. The second interpretation he offers is lishna achrina mitshuvas ha-ga'onim. Pardashne means, mishayesh lo korachitim limkor. Someone has a measure of wheat to sell. Posek domim lelokeach. They agree on a price. V'holech lebeso u'mishager lo kav chitim liros ka mehen yofos. He sends him a kav, is a small portion of a kor. I think a kor is 30 saw, and a saw is 6 kabin. So I guess it's 1/180th of actually what he's going to eventually get. And v'ima'akev alokeach oso kav etzlo miskayim ametach. If the lokeach keeps that
sample,
that constitutes a kinyan, But if he wants to, he can return it. But the point is, if he chooses to keep it, it's binding. So you see that Mishicha is Kona. Now the question is, what was bothering Rashi about the first interpretation? Why did he back out on that? So there's a big machlokas that we've shown him regarding this issue, but Tosus makes the following claim. The Gemara here is going to have a discussion as to whether or not Mishicha is Kona by a guy or not. And presume with Mishicha is not Kona, so then Ma'os are Kona. So that by default. That's very nice when I'm selling something to the guy or the guy is selling something to me. But what happens if I'm giving a gift? When I give a gift, when it's not a mecher, it's a matana, what form of kinyan is going to be there? So Toso says, of course, the only thing that works there is Mishicha. The only discussion of when Mishicha is Kona or not is by mecher, when there's going to be presumably money given and the object's going to transfer. But by a matana, Toso says, he says, of course, Mishicha is Kona. That's why Rashi doesn't like the first interpretation. Because the fact that when they make a Mishicha on the gift, the Doron, they're not Chozer Behem, well, yeah, of course, because that's the only kinyan to make. Larry?
Why can't Chozer be Kona if you get a gift, right? If somebody gives it to you and you have Chozer. Like they sent it to him somewhere that he...
You need it physically picking up. You need a Mishicha.
No. Larry is correct in the following sense. We're going to see a few lines later in the Gemara. I've seen it, you haven't seen it yet. The assumption of the Gemara is that even if Mishicha would not work, I think that Kinyan Chatzer does work. I think so. But let me make the following statement. The Gemara's assumption is that all the Persians are doing is Mishicha. It's not that there's no other way, but the bottom line is that, in other words,
If you say Mishicha is okay, isn't Chatzar okay?
No, that's why I'm not sure that it's Hab HaTalia. Well, I didn't think through the question from that angle. What Sam is suggesting, if it were correct, but I don't think it is, then Mishicha and Chatzer would all be the same things. In other words, they're basically two kinds of kinyanim. The kinyan where I basically take into my domain, and then the kinyan where I'm paying for it. And therefore, if Mishicha is Kona, Chatzer is Kona, and if Mishicha is not Kona, then Chatzer is not Kona either. It demands Nisina Asmaos. So if Sam is correct, which maybe he is, but I think not, then that answers your question. Otherwise, I think you have to say that according to Tosfos, I don't know, how do you know that Mishicha is necessarily Kona by a Matana? I don't know. That's a good question. So maybe Sam is right. But Tosa says, if you take a look at Tosa's Dibar Maskel Pardashne, on the fourth line, including the Dibar Maskel line, V'omer ri, da'filu l'manda amar eno kone k'Ravashi b'samach. Ravashi is about to argue with the Memar. Ravashi is going to say, literally the next line, Mishicha is not kona. But if, even according to Ravashi, Tosa says, Hani mili kagon de ika kaspa, aval b'mitziya matana, de leka kaspa, kuleyam amodu de kani b'mishicha o behagbaha. Everybody agrees that by a matana or mitziya, that a goy is kona b'mishicha. So I think Tosos is... let's wait till we see the Gemara. Let's not forget this discussion when we get to the later part of the Gemara. Okay.
This question?
Yes.
Is the Gemara is assuming that when we sell chametz on Pesach, we invite the non-Jew into our world, and we say, okay, we're creating all these legal fictions, and you're going to play along with the way, with our rules. But in this case, it seems like we're transacting in the world, not our world, and now we need to figure out a way to make it kosher, so to speak. So in this case, like when we say kesef, does it mean that there's a consideration being paid, or that we're going through some sort of ceremonial...
I think that the proof, the teda, that Amemar offers, or the Gemara offers, is simply an indication that is, in fact, the way... The assumption is that the Persians are following Torah law. Alternatively, the assumption is that Torah law reflects the way non-Jews, in fact, govern their society. I'm more comfortable with the latter formulation, but I'm not sure it's clear in the Gemara. So simply, and Tosus, by the way, I mean, I guess this is really the Machlokas Tushitas in Tosus, in the previous Tosus. Tosus claims that Teda is not the source. Teda is just an Asmachta. The real source is, O kano miyara misecha, you know, miyara misecha with ma'os, and goy, ha goy be mishicha. That's the real makar. And you just have to see that the goyim do it that way. That would be saying that, no, it really wouldn't matter whether the pardashne, whether they back out or don't back out. It's irrelevant. The Torah says it works this way. But the simple way of reading the Gemara is the fact that goyim do it that way is an indication, presumably, that the Torah set down the rules. The Torah didn't lay down a rule for the goyim. It reflects, in fact, the way the goyim engage in their transactions. Okay. So that's what Amemar says. Ravashi Amar, and we're going to erase the next three words. Tosus insists it's taken out. The Bach erases them, and the reason Tosus takes them out is because it seems clear from the Gemara that Ravashi, what La'olam Eimalacha, you know what La'olam Eimalacha does? When someone adopts a position, and they bring a proof, what does La'olam Eimalacha mean? It doesn't mean that they disagree with the position. What does it mean? It means that your proof is not a proof. In other words, you want to prove from the Pardashne that Meshicha is Kona by a guy. La'olam Eimalacha, Meshicha is not Kona. And you want to know why they don't back out? I'll give you the reason why. Tosa says, erase those three words. Ravashi says, Meshicha ain't a Kona, period. And he explains, V'haida lo hadri behu de Rama Srucha hu de Nikita lehu. It's Rama Srucha. It doesn't mean arrogance. It means pride. In other words, a person... This is a good kind of pride, actually. A person might sometimes, in a situation, be legally allowed to back out of something, but they might decide that their dignity is worth more, and their reputation, and even if they're right, even if it's not just that they legally can, but someone else did something wrong, but as a reputation, they're more concerned about their reputation of being, you know, upstanding, and their word really counting, than getting away with taking what isn't really rightfully theirs. They're more chasal kavodam than they are amamonam. So Ravashi says, Roma srucha de nikita lehu. Of course they're allowed to back out, but they don't, because, you know, it would be bad, you know, for their standing in their society. Okay, and now the Gemara is going to go on with a series of attempted rayas. I want to take the time now to explore the big tosos, as it relates to the issue that confronted them halacha lemaisa and about bechorim, and theoretically relates to us in terms of mechiras chametz. There are a lot of very interesting subplots in the Tosos. The most striking thing in this Tosos, which I have not found anybody address, I looked in the back, none of the achronim that I saw addressed this issue. Tosos, this is what Tosos wants to know: is Ravashi, do we paskin like Ravashi or not? Ravashi says Mashiach is not kona by a guy. I do not understand. And Tosus wants to say we don't pass like Ravashi. And he has to deal with a number of other Gemaras, a number of whole discussion, Rabbi Yochanan Meish Lakish. Wonderful. There's one thing that deeply bothers me. If you turn to Daf Ayin Beis, I'm an Aleph. The fourth line in the Gemara, at the end of the line, Ella, Shmamina, Meshicha Bokam Kona, Shmamina. That's the end of this part of the Sugya. Everything between where we are and there is this raya, that raya. If this fails, that fails. It's not really proof. It's you can't one. Bottom line is Shema Minasha. Tosas never bothers to appeal to that. I haven't checked Kisvayad, but I'm wondering where the Tosas actually had in his Gemara. But I'm more struck by the fact that none of the commentaries in the back on Tosas, the Marsha and the Maram, nobody says boo. Like, why is Tosas clearing, you know, how we should pass him? The Gemara says Meshicha is Kona Vayagoy. So anyway, putting that minor question aside, Tosvos says the following. Ravashi Amar Meshicha Ba'Ovid Kochavim Eina Kona. Lo L'dichuya Ba'Oma Ka'Amar Ravashi Hachi. Elo L'fio Emes. Ravashi is not merely being docha, saying, oh no, it could be that Meshicha is not Kona, and you don't have proof. No, no, that's not what Ravashi is saying. Elo lafia emes, he really believes. Kidemuchach besechas b'choros perak beis, de ka'amar Ravashi, midereisha Meshicha enakona, seifanami Meshicha enakona. Ravashi, in dealing with something about the Mishnah we read in Bechoros, says, no, clearly Meshicha is not koma. Alma, hachi svir leila Ravashi. Ravashi really holds Meshicha enakona. He's not just It could be, but it actually is. Hilkach, lav garsin b'milsa de Rav Ashi, quote, open quote, la'olam ei malacha, close quote. Okay. So that's the first part of Tosis. Tosis is saying that those three words, which obviously appeared in some manuscripts, otherwise Tosis won't be comment on it. So Tosis says those three words do not belong in the Gemara because they do not reflect accurately Ravashi's opinion. Ravashi's opinion is Mashiach is not Kona by a guy. He argues on a Meimar, not just on a Meimar's proof, not just on a Meimar's Teda. Okay. Now Tosis has to grapple with the question, how do we paskin? Perish Rabbeinu Tam. The afal gav the Rav Ashi basra hava. Even though normally we say that hilchasa kavasra, you follow the latest authorities in the Gemara, and Rav Ashi was one of the last Amorai. Less hilchasa kavasei b'hai. We don't paskin like him here. Ella kaimalan kamemar the amar mishicha ba'ove kochavim kona. Why? And again, I'm just struck because he doesn't say because that's the Gemara's maskana here. Just ignores that. But rather the sphere like Rabbi Yochanan kideprishis. He holds like Rabbi Yochanan, as he explained earlier. That was Tosis. We didn't read a Dibar Maschil Amar, but it matches up, right? Rabbi Yochanan says Dvar Torah Maos Konos by a Jew, therefore La Amisecha B'Maos by a non-Jew with Meshicha, and that fits naturally with Amemar's position. That's what the Gemara Bechoros thought also. It would make sense if Amemar holds like Rabbi Yochanan. Then it makes sense: Jew with money, guy with Meshicha. The Halacha Rabbi Yochanan Legabe Reish Lakish. In general, whenever you have a machlokas in Shas, Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, the halacha is like Rabbi Yochanan, with a very few exceptions. Uplukta, the Rabbi Yochanan Reb Shimon Lakish Perakazov, Rabbi Yochanan Savar Maos Konos Dvar Torah, the Imkain, according to Rabbi Yochanan, Lidide Darshinan, La Amisecha Bekesef, Ula Ove Kochama Meshicha. And Reish Lakish Savar, that Meshicha is Mephoreshus Menat Torah, Miyad. Be Yisrael, the imkain darshina la misecha, be mishicha ola ove kochavim bekesef, vahachi muchach be becholros, and therefore, the hilkach mishicha ove kochavim konek Rabbi Yochanan. So Tosis says it should be very straightforward. A Meimar lines up with Rabbi Yochanan, Ravashi lines up with Reish Lakish, and Machlokas Rabbi Yochanan, Reish Lakish, we normally pass like Rabbi Yochanan. Ah, but Tosis says, the afal gav de Rava ka'amar hasam perek hazahav, even though Rava in the fourth perek of Amitziah says, kra'u masnisan misayeh l'Rav Shimon Lakish. Rava says that the simple reading of the Pasuk and the simple reading of the Mishnah support Reish Lakish's position. Lo mishum de sfirile l'Rava k'Reish Lakish. Not because he actually holds that way, but just because he's pointing it out. Alvi mikomakom lo kashe the Rabbi Yochanan. The Rabbi Yochanan dochi lu shapir ki de peirashnu hasam. Rabbi Yochanan in the Gemara there is docha. He's able to be docha the rais, even though Rava said that the initial reading of the Mishnah and the Pesukim sounds like Reish Lakish. Doesn't really matter. Viteda dochi hava ki de peirashnu. The lo mishum the Rava savak Rabbi Shimon Meilakish kamar hachi. Rava didn't say that kra umas nisan are day are misayeh le Reish Lakish because he holds that way. And what's the raya that Rava doesn't pass like Reish Lakish there? He says Shari Rava gufe pasik perikacholets kireish Lakish legab Rabbi Yochanan bitlos. Rava in the fourth parak of Yavama says that we pass like Reish Lakish against Rabbi Yochanan only in three places. Satosa says. And the Choshev Lehu Hasam, and the Gemara enumerates all three cases there, and this is not one of them. Aval ba'alma b'chol ha'makomos halacha k'Rabbi Yochanan. Everywhere else, Rava says, we paskin like Rabbi Yochanan against Reish Lakish. V'im hoya sover Rava k'Reish Lakish be'ahi de Meshicha mufareshes min ha'Torah. If Rava paskin like Reish Lakish by the Meshicha issue, im kein havale lemech sheve hasam. He should have included it in the list. It shouldn't have been a list of three. It should have been a list of four. V'leka le'me'emar delo chash lemech sheve. Don't say that the reason why Rava didn't bother to count it is because it was unnecessary, namely, mishum demasnisa mesei le'Reish Lakish. No, the fact that Reish Lakish has a supporting Mishnah, it does not mean that Rava doesn't have to enumerate. Why? The Habahani plus the Kachashiv Hasim, by some of the three, all of the three, that he does Paschal Reish Lakish, Ika the Tanya Kavaseh the Reish Lakish, there are braces that support Reish Lakish, Vafilu Hachi Kachashiv Lahasim. Even so, Rava felt the need to say, we Paschal like Reish Lakish by A, B, and C, even though he had support of braces, therefore, Rava clearly does not paskin like Reish Lakish when it comes to Mashiach Kona. Elavadai savar k'Rabbi Yochanan b'ahi demaos konos b'Yisrael im kein la'ovei kochavim b'mashiach k'depei rashna. Okay, so up until now, this is all, it pulls together a lot of different basic yiddis and shas, and you wonder why is Tosfos so preoccupied with the question? So now Tosfos says, Im kein hamakne behema la'ovei kochavim kidei lepotra min habechora tzarech shi'im shechena oved kochavim uvekach sagi below kesef. Now you know why Tosfos is so interested. That when you have an animal and you want to potter it from Kedushas Bechora because of all the tzaras, all you need to do is to have the guy make a meshicha on the mother animal to be kona, whatever part of the animal. You don't need to have, the guy doesn't have to give you any kesef. It's a convenience factor, right? And it's a trust factor. The guy doesn't, you know, the guy is not buying you behema. He's just getting a chelek to spare you trouble, right? He doesn't want to have to fork over the cash, and he may not have the cash right now. Okay. Mihu, but Rashi perished to be Meshicha ain't a kochav ovi kochav ela kesef to ain't halacha Rabbi Yochanan ela Reish Lakish. Rashi paskins the other way. Why does he paskin like Reish Lakish? Mishum the Rava Sira lekevase perakazav mitak amar kramas nisan mesayel Reish Lakish. Rashi looks at the Gemara and says, no, if Rava says that the Pasuk and the Mishnah both support Reish Lakish, that's because Rava thinks that we paskin like Reish Lakish. Or it indicates if he thinks that, he's going to choose to paskin like Reish Lakish. The Chi Tema, and if you're going to say, Im kein amai lo chashad lebacho leitz bahadehanu tlas, why does Rava not count it in Yevamos when he lists the three? Tzarech lomar mishum dahu dazav mishicha koner k'amar Reish Lakish perik sheni of Bechoros b'shmeid Reboshaya. No, you know why he doesn't feel the need to say, to list it in the three? Because that's not Reish Lakish's position of his own. That's Reish Lakish in the name of one of his rabbeim, in the name of Oshaya. But, only those that are Reish Lakish on his own. The Hachinami, lo kachashim milse, the yeshon on the shechita mitchil v'atzof, the perek ha-shochet, is whatever issue that comes up in Chulin, mishum the mishnei, the lebi saba, amar Reish Shimon Lakish. In other words, the reason Rav is only counting the cases that are machlokas or Reish Lakish of his own against Rabbi Yochanan. If Reish Lakish was following somebody earlier shita, that's not a machlokas Reish Lakish Rabbi Yochanan, and therefore it's not necessary. It doesn't fit Rav's pattern of the three that he's counting. So Rashi says we paskin like Reish Lakish because Rav paskins that way, and you might even draw upon Rav Ashi here, who's a Basra, who's one of the latest authorities as support. The Harot said, "Lachush leDivrei Rashi veRabbeinu Tam." If you want to be machmir for both of them, because remember, according to Rashi, all the guy needs to do is give you kesef. But according to Rabbeinu Tam, it doesn't work. You need meshicha. And according to Rabbeinu Tam, meshicha is enough. But according to Rashi, it's not. So if you want to be choshish for both, hamak mebehema laOved kochavim lePotrim and Abachora tzarech sheyitena Oved kochavim kesef. V'gam meshicha sa ovei kochavim besimta on the reshuso shel akum shehu shalom. Either in a simta means an alleyway, because meshicha I believe is not kona in the middle of the reshus harabim. You have to be off not center of the reshus harabim, on the side. Or if the guy pulls the animal to his own reshus, and Tosfos may mean a kinyan chatzi here. So that's what you have to do.
You have to do both.
Yes, and you don't need to do. You can do meshicha in a simta or moshech l'reshusa. You don't need both of those, but you need kesef and you need meshicha.
So kesef is one of the two what you need.
Correct. Vim ain lo reshus la ove kochavim. If the guy has no reshus to drag the animal into, matne lo ha yisra cheder bebeso va ove kochavim yino va yiftach de bahachi kanele the reshus. Ked the amar begitin perakazorek v'teichad v'tiftach. So you take a room, you makne the room to the guy, and then agav the room, he can then va'achakach yimshocha ovid kochavim b'him al oso cheder. He can then drag that animal into the room that he has now acquired from you. Okay, so that's what Tosfos says. You need both kinyanim. You need kesef and you need meshicha. So two final points Tosfos makes. Number one, we mentioned this earlier in response to a question, what part of the animal that is required. So Tosfos says, "B'choros perakama pligem aray." How much of the animal does the guy have to have? A limb that would render the animal in its absence a treifa. Even just the ear. It's either makne the head, be makne the lungs. I would say that's not only something that makes the animal a treifa, it actually makes the animal a nevela. Okay, that issue I believe comes up. I'm trying to think. I didn't explore it sufficiently. I think in Arachin, I mentioned before, if I say erech etzbai alai, I pay nothing because my etzba is not an eiver shana shama tliyabo. I think it's mashma from the Gemara that a limb that would make a person a trefa but not a nevela. Nevela means you're dead right then. Trefa means you're going to die. So I think if it would make you a trefa, I don't think. No, I think there is a case. Minhar kuva lamala. Does anybody remember that? What's that? The Gemara says, I think by Erech, if the part of the leg cut off from above the Arkuva, above the knee, so I think you do pay Erech, and I think that makes you a Trefa, not a Nevela. So I think by Arachin, it's enough if you say Erech, you know, my kidneys, right? A person without kidneys is not a Nevela. They'll die within a day or two, a human being, but it doesn't make you a Nevela, it makes you a Trefa. So I would say if a person said, Erech of my kidneys, Alai, I think from the Gemara it's Mashma, you have to pay the Erech of the full body. In the same way, if you sell the guy, the kidneys, so then that's enough, because that makes the animal a trefa. Okay, so that's one issue. And then Tosa says the following. Omnam, ein sarach sheyitena ove kohava ma'os shava harosh vareya, Elasagni sheyikne bepruta. The afalpi sheshava yoser kiflayim. Afilu hachi ein lachush mishum bito mekach shanan sadi sheyisrael gomar va'akei lot kochavim kedei li patam ala b'chora. So this is a really interesting comment that Tosfos has, which I didn't think about until now. I thought about this, but I didn't think about this angle. Tosfos says that it's not necessary for the goy to give the full value of the part that he's buying. Now, I would have said for a very, very simple reason. When we say that a guy is kona with kesef, what does that mean? It doesn't, kesef, when I come into your store and I buy something from you and I give you $100 for it, there are two things that are accomplished by that. One is the kinyan of kesef, assuming, let's say Reish Lakish and a guy, kinyan of kesef, and number two, I'm giving you payment. It is possible to separate those two. Namely, if I give you a pruta, that constitutes a kinyan kesef, and that makes the transaction happen. What about the rest of the money? The answer is, I owe you the rest of the money. Okay, so I owe you the rest of the money. What's the big deal? I'll pay you whenever. When does the transaction happen from? From the time that I give you a pruta's worth. That's when it takes place. The rest of it is just a chov. So I would have said that it's enough for the guy to give you a pruta for the rea or for the whatever the other limb was, the rosh, because that's kinyan kesef. And then he does meshicha, and that's kinyan meshicha. Ah, what about the rest of the money? So I would have just said, okay, whenever the guy gives you money, the guy gives you the money. But Tosa says it's not a problem, bitel amekach, I mean the guy didn't pay you the right amount, because we have an umdana, a non-sadi, that the Yisrael is gomer no matter what, because he wants to exempt the animal from bechora. Now, it does make sense economically. Let's say the guy, we're going to give me nothing more than a pruta for, let's say, the rea. And the rea is worth more than that. It's yes, but if the guy doesn't agree to be kona that for me, I'm going to get nothing, because all the animal, firstly, nobody can use it. And if it got a moment, it goes to a bechora, not to me.
Even with a pruta,
it's a very good deal for. So I agree with that, but I would have said that it could be understood that the guy is going to pay you later. As far as the concern in our intosis here is not about, you know, a fair deal. The concern is about Issa Vahet there. Does the Kenyan work? Now, it could be that what's bothering Tosis is that he's thinking, but if the goy doesn't actually give you, ultimately, more than the value, then it is bitul amekach. It's true. To make the kinyan right now, let's say he says, I have the rest of the cash in my house for the lung, but I only have a dollar with me now. So, okay, we'll make the, you know, the mother animal is about to give birth, so we better do this quickly before the animal gets kedushas bechora, so here's the dollar. And you pay me later. But Tosis maybe is bothered by the fact that the goy is never paying for it. So why don't we say, yes, there was a kinyan kesef, but it's kinyan betos, because he never actually paid the money. So Tosfos says, no, you know what? The Jew, even if all he ever gets is the pruta, the assumption is he's happy about that, because anan sade, that's enough for him in order to be mafkia from the bechora. Okay.
Does the guy get some benefit from this at all, right?
Well, it really, on some level, he might actually, because Tosfos is assuming he actually is going to come and lay claim to the rea or the rosh.
So one day when the animal dies,
yeah,
you got to give it to him.
Yeah. Listen, if you sell your chametz to the guy and he wants to drink your 30-year-old vodka, whatever it is, you know, he may have to pay you, but you can't say to him, no, you can't drink that. Otherwise, it's otherwise. It turns out that you can't drink it either at any time because it's chamash al Pesach. So I think that the answer is yes. If the guy, it sounds from Tosas that really the guy would come and might come and claim it. You're selling him the ray on the Rosh. They're probably not the most valuable part. I mean, at least for our, you know, in an age in which they eat every part of the animal, it was more valuable than today. But today, certainly, I don't know anybody who eats lungs. Are lungs available in the store?
Not anymore.
Probably not. I'm still waiting for somebody to sell kachal, utter meat, so we can enjoy the taste of basar b'challah the way the heta. But yeah, liver they sell, the kishka they sell, when it's not fake kishka they sell. But the ray on the Rosh, you know, I think you only get heads around Rosh Hashanah time for some people.
So yes, if you're asking me, we sell the guy for a price. We sell the chametz for a price. So mm-hmm. If the guy uses some of the chametz, the understanding is that he has to.
I would think so because I don't do mechiras chametz. I've never done mechiras chametz, so I'm just a theoretician, you know, assistant to base medrash, you know. So I don't even know all the kiddin that they do, but it's based upon this. They try to do every possible kiddin.
In other words, because if you're doing it that way, then it's the same thing. In other words, you're paying later. It's like mm-hmm. giving the pruta, and then whatever you use later, you owe.
Correct. But the reality is, we're not asking that question because the guy almost never comes for it, right? But if he were, yes, he would have to pay for the chametz that he ate. It'd be an interesting, you know, price negotiations. How much is that chametz worth? How easy it would have been to get another guy to do this? And could the guy and band together and say, your chametz has a depreciation because, you know, if we don't sell it, if we all band together don't buy it from you, your chametz is worth nothing. So, but yeah, the answer is in principle, if a guy comes and wants to take it, he can, but he'll have to pay, you know, demei mekach later. The mekach, the kinyan kesef, was done through the Shavu Pruta.
That's like my father-in-law, I think he said it last time, when his father would do Mechiras Chametz with Jimmy, who was the custodian of Lowell for my time, he said, I'm drinking my scotch now.
That's right.
So I'm sure he didn't pay for that scotch.
Yeah, I'm sure it wasn't too much, right? But if the guy really wanted your collection of really fancy scotch, so you say, that's fine. But, you know, when you buy the stock back after Pesach, so just by the way, you do owe me, you know, X amount of dollars because of the scotch. Okay, so that's why the stakes in this issue are so high. So we'll stop here for now, but we won't be sure next week. In 2 weeks, God willing, we'll resume. And the Gemara is going to go through the whole series of trying to prove whether Mashiach is Kohen or not Kohen. And eventually, why is this sugya here? Because our Mishnah is going to be one of the proof attempted proof texts to prove it one way or the other.